When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Steel Wars is returning to the Scum and Villainy Cantina on Saturday afternoon, March 10th, for a special podcast panel commemorating the finale of Star Wars Rebels, the weekend of its conclusion. Join a special expert panel to break down the pros, the cons, the ins and outs of the Ghost Crew and their adventures, and react to what will be a controversial finale. And Australia, Steel Wars returns to the Melbourne International Comedy Festival for three shows over the Easter long weekend. Friday the 30th of March, Saturday the 31st of March, and Monday the 2nd of April, 2 p.m. Tickets for all these shows are available at steelwars.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, you guys, and welcome to the Steel Wars call-in show. I am comedian Steel Saunders, and I do love Star Wars. And this is the listener call-in version of the podcast. And for the next 90 minutes or so, we'll be taking your calls from around the world on anything Star Wars. We have wrapped up our prediction shows. The predictions are locked in the vault, which is a Microsoft Word document that just got emailed to me from Dom Legasepi. So it's not that secure, but it is there. And if you want to call in tonight or today or this morning, wherever you are, the number is 646-668-8360. That's 646-668-8360. If you are in the live chat, it should be just above that window. If you are international, and by international, I mean non-American, Freudian slip, add a plus one if you're Skyping in, because tell you about the little Skype know that you want to call the Stars and Stripes. And you guys, we've got a co-host, a first-time co-host this weekend, who is celebrating 1 year of her awesome podcast, Sky Talkers. Welcome, Caitlin Plesher. How you doing, Caitlin?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited.
Well, it's my pleasure. We've had Charlotte on before, and yeah. I just listened to your one-year sort of celebration podcast. We answered a bunch of questions about a year of podcasting, and I was like, oh, we haven't had Caitlin on. And this is the weird thing, that just before the podcast, we were talking, and I had the realization just came over me. I was like, oh, we've never spoken to each other before. But I feel like we're engaged in this one-way conversation every week when you talk to me about Star Wars for an hour or so. So
yeah, it's so weird with podcasts. You feel like you know someone so intimately, even though you maybe have never actually spoken to them one-on-one.
Yeah, it is. It is an amazing little media we've got going here. So we will be taking your calls. There's a couple of people on hold already, and we will get to that. I'll run through a few of the news headlines that perhaps we can discuss. I'm getting these from StarWarsUnderworld.com. They always do a good job, Dom and Chris and Ben and the crew, at collating the week's news. What about this one, Caitlin? Mark Hamill reveals a change made to the final scene in The Force Awakens. This was from a Chinese website called M Time. They've always got time for M's over at M Time. Is that where you go for all your M-based news, Caitlin?
When I have M-based news, I go to M time. So yeah, very familiar.
Hey, you know what time it is. And the original version, which I saw like, you know, sort of interpreted that it was like an alternate ending to The Force Awakens, which I don't really think this is an alternate ending. But the original version of the ending was going to have some floating rocks around Luke Skywalker. And Rian Johnson, one of his alterations was to have that taken away to fit in with the storyline of The Last Jedi. Now, that's hardly an alternate ending. It's more just a missing effect. Are you across this one?
I haven't, but it makes sense that Rian took it out because Luke is supposed to be disconnected from the Force when Rey gets there. So I would assume that the rocks were lifted because of his Force aura or something like that. So it makes sense that Rian wouldn't have wanted it in. I think it's a good choice.
Well, you bring up an interesting question or an interesting theory. What if the rocks were floating not because of Luke? That is something I had not covered in my reading of the article.
Maybe it was the Porgs.
They're just floating. I kind of am up for a floaty, like in a live action movie, some floaty, you know, I think maybe it was touched on in, I can't even think of what the name of that movie is. What's the James Cameron film? It's the biggest film of all time. Oh my God.
Avatar.
Oh my God. That's how much that movie sticks in your head.
Well, it wasn't Titanic, so.
Yeah. Well, they had a bit of the floaty rocks, then like sort of islands in the air, like clouds. So that would be a cool little.
Oh, yeah. It would be interesting because if Octo has the Force power, like it's got the powerful light and the powerful dark, then it could have like possess its own Force capabilities to do something like that. That would have been interesting.
Yeah, or just the gravity's weird or something. But it's so hard to come up with those new Star Wars landscapes. Look, you know Star Wars, it's just, you know, it's just planet. Like it's planet that weather, whatever weather pattern or landmass. It's like, that's it. You get rain. You get water. So much water. You can have sand. So, yeah, floating things would be cool. I went out to like the desert sort of between like Arizona near Albuquerque and the Grand Canyon. And there's some rock formations out there that look very alien that I wouldn't mind seeing a bit of a lightsaber battle out there. So it's interesting the different, we're running out of, we need more different types of earth. I'm not sure what else is there.
I really want to see like a rainforest, a legit rainforest, because they could just have a blast with all of the different animals they could include there. And you would have all of the rain too, but it wouldn't be Camino rain. You know, it would be like a forest rainforest.
Yeah, rainforest would be, that would be pretty cool. That reminds me, I always thought, did you read the Thrawn trilogy?
No, this gets brought up on Sky Talkers all the time. And no, I haven't read it yet. It's on my to-do list, though, for 2018.
Well, it's not going anywhere, so don't worry about it. It's going to be there. But I always imagine there's this bit where Luke Skywalker, I think, he crashes on a planet with Talon Karab, his character. Long forgotten in the EU, but it was sort of in my head. It was like a rainforest type deal. You know, sometimes you just got stuff in your, like sometimes it's fun to read a book before you've seen the movie because you just get to make up what things are like. That's a rainforest. In other Star Wars news, this is really cool. There's this video up on Star Wars's YouTube page, which is the best place for YouTube videos, is youtube.com. I highly recommend it for all your YouTube needs. The Lucasfilm Story Group discusses the secrets of The Last Jedi. Have you had a chance to watch this video?
Yes, it was 27 minutes of pure gold.
This is what they should be doing. Like, more of this. Like, I sort of, the thing I don't enjoy about the Star Wars show is sometimes like the overly scripting of like the people that I really enjoy hearing talking, but I just don't like the sort of scripting of it. And when they get a chance just to chat, they're good. real good. Andy did a really good job, and I learned a lot. It was just like that was a treat. That was a Blu-ray extra.
It was so great. When I saw how long it was, I got so excited because it was like they were hosting their own little podcast. It was fantastic with basically the powers that be in Star Wars world. It was great.
Well, this is the thing, Caitlin. Everyone wants to be a podcaster. You know what I mean? These Lucasfilm executives, they've seen what we're doing. They want a bit of our pie.
Piece of the pie in on the action.
This is a cool one. This one was from an interview with IGN, and it's about Rian Johnson explaining why Luke had the blue lightsaber in The Last Jedi. And Rian Johnson brings up, because we break down these films pretty hard, and this is something that even when I tweeted to Alex from Star Wars Explained, who is, very knowledgeable and is a good thinker in Star Wars, at why Kylo did click that Luke had the Skywalker lightsaber is Kylo got knocked out, and he doesn't know the lightsaber got split in two because the explosion from the lightsaber is what knocked him out.
Mhm. Yeah. Yeah. I remember reading that, and I was like, "That seems like very real world. Like he just didn't notice." I also think too.
If you're in that struggle, like, do you know what I mean? Like, just say you're in a game of tug of rope, and then the other person lets go of the rope. Like, you're not looking at the rope anymore. You're sort of looking at where you're falling.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. And I mean, that everything after that moment on The Supremacy is just so charged with emotion that, you can tell he's not thinking straight to even notice something like that.
Yeah, he does seem like he hasn't had his coffee after that.
Or maybe too much coffee.
There is no such thing as too much coffee. We'll not be hearing talk like that. And this is what I like about Star Wars fans is there's leaks about Best Buy and Target exclusive home movie versions of the film we just saw, and we're excited about it. I think that's rad. It's like, Caitlin, I'll let you in on this little rumor. I have heard that they're going to merchandise the movie they just made for people to take home and watch at home. They're going to try to make extra money several months after the film comes out. Yeah.
That's insane. I can't believe they would do that.
And I make fun, but it is, I find it endearing that we get excited about that. And I'm very excited for this Blu-ray to come out. And there's something in it that I really hope is going to be in there, that I've heard is in there. And I'll be very excited if it is in there. Is that a vague enough comment, Caitlin?
It's pretty vague. You piqued my interest. That's
right,
for
well,
sure.
we'll talk in when does Star Wars Underworld predict this is going to come out? I've lost it. Best Buy.
I think it's in
27th of March. 27th of March. And Ron Howard saying that we're going to get a teaser soon. That's another kind of obvious bit of news. And we've also got some Rebels season premiere titles that are rumored. The one I heard, which was a sad loss of a scrappy little orphan boy from Lothal. That is cryptic. And I'm not sure.
It sounds like a placeholder name, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of what they're calling it, but that's not what the real name is going to be.
How do you see? I do joke. That is not a title, everyone. What sort of end do you see for our two Jedi, Caitlin?
Oh my gosh, this is like the million-dollar question. I definitely think Kanan is going to die. I think there's going to be a horrible, tragic moment between him and Hera, and he's going to die. I don't know about Ezra. I have no idea about Ezra. I think it'd be really ballsy if they killed Ezra. Because he's the center of the show, and it is a kid's show. So do you kill off your main child protagonist? But I just don't know what they're going to do with him if he lives, you know?
Yeah, it's strange because one throwback to that, like you're saying, it's a kid's show. And then you can say, well, the Clone Wars, the hero of the Clone Wars ended up murdering kids. But like I feel like the Rebel skews younger, like even younger than mm-hmm. Clone Wars. So like that sort of trying to weigh up what they'll do with Ezra doesn't really fit. But what would you feel? This is my thing. I regardless, like, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do. And it's their story to tell. But I do want a definitive end. Like, I don't really want to be talking about was that him walking off or his spirit walking off?
Are we talking about Ahsoka here?
Yeah, I want to either let's mourn him or he's off on new adventures. He's into these unknown regions. That's where... In Australia, Caitlin, there's this long-running soap called Neighbours, and it's set down in Melbourne.
Yes, I've heard of it.
Oh, you know that? Okay, great. You're very cultured. So it's based down in Melbourne where I grew up, and in Queensland, which is kind of like Florida, it's where people go to retire and go on vacations and stuff. Whenever someone leaves the show, they move to Queensland, and sometimes they'll ring. Do you know what I mean? Oh, it's Scott ringing from Queensland to keep him in the show. And these references are so old, these characters. But that's what the unknown regions has become to Star Wars theories. Like, people just want to, instead of killing people, it's like, let's just ship them off to the unknown regions. They can just,
yeah,
just go do stuff. Get them out there.
Just live there forever.
Yeah. And then they can all team up for Rian Johnson's new trilogy.
Yeah, it'll be like Avengers, but Star Wars. Of all the like left behind characters like Ezra and Ahsoka, that's where they all went.
It's going to get crowded out there in that region. That's all I'm going to say. You know, there's going to be a lot of people out there. All Snoke's relatives, they're out there mourning. Ezra's there. So there's at least four people out there. Let's talk before we take some calls. Give us the quick history of Sky Talkers podcast, how you and Charlotte met up.
How we met? Well, Charlotte and I have been best friends since middle school. So really our seventh grade year when we were about 12 and 13. And I had never seen Star Wars before. And Charlotte introduced me to Star Wars because it was literally right after the Revenge of the Sith came out. And she was all in all the time and finally convinced me to watch it with her. And I jumped on board immediately, and we've been best friends and talking about Star Wars ever since. And it was really after Rogue One came out that we decided that we wanted and like needed to add our voice to the conversation. And so we started Sky Talkers in January of 2017 and just celebrated 1 year. And it's been incredible. I really don't have the right words to describe how great it's been.
Yeah, what was it about Rogue One that made you need your voices to be heard? Was there something that wasn't being said about it?
Yeah, a little bit. I remember a lot of conversation about lack of characterization in Rogue One as a big critique of it. And I remember not feeling that way at all about Rogue One. Because the job of the movie is not to tell. A lot of people were saying that, you know, we don't know how Baze and Shurit met and where Bodhi come from and all of this stuff. And that was a really big point of contention. And I remember thinking, you know, it's not the job of the movie to tell us where they come from. It's the job of the movie to make us care about these characters and to feel something when they did something heroic and ultimately perished. And in that vein, I think the movie was really successful. And yeah, that was, for me, that was, I was like, we need to talk about this. And so we started talking about it and have never stopped.
it's strange how we, like, one of the coolest things about Star Wars, the original ones, is just how they talk about stuff and they don't tell you any more information than people in the galaxy would talk about it. And mm-hmm. I think sometimes, like, people want too much information, like, you know, about how, you know, Boding, Chirutmet, or whatever. It's just accept they're together and you're just coming in. Like, when it's been 40 years and we're just going to find out how Chewbacca and Han Solo met. That's one of like the classic team ups in film history. So
I know.
It's just like, give the story time to breathe and like enjoy that it doesn't pat you in the head with like too much information sort of layered on like that. I really like that. But I was thinking today about how I found you guys, because I think I just followed you on Twitter, because if a podcast follows me, I normally follow it back until they say something really dumb, because I want to know what like other podcasts are saying. And I hadn't listened, and I was in Australia and my wife was here, and we were during one of the times when it was probably about, we weren't going to see each other for 3 months. And sometimes like that was, as you can imagine, quite hard. And I was just sort of feeling super dreary. And you guys posted a photo of you guys at Celebration. And I think that maybe the episode was like, oh, we reflect on our fun time at Celebration or something. And I was like, oh, I think if I hang out with these guys for an hour, they might cheer me up. And you did. Like, you just, you know, you were just beaming with excitement and all the cool stuff you got to do at Celebration. And that's sort of what got me into it, because I was like, I know if I listen to these guys, their company will leave me in a better mood than when I started listening. So I thank you for that, because you've given me some pep when I've needed it.
That's so nice. Thank you so much. At the end of the day, if you're not having fun with Star Wars, what are you doing? And so we always, for whatever critiques we have, we always try to bring it back to, we're just so happy to be talking about this universe and to keep talking about it. But thank you so much. That's really kind.
My pleasure. It is important to have fun with Star Wars. And even if there's bits, this is the thing that I always think that's tricky. It's like, even if you don't like parts of it, like, have fun with you not liking that part. Like don't turn it into some negative thing. Like celebrate how bad it is when the battle droid gets C-3PO's head on it and starts saying stuff. Just celebrate it, you know? Just celebrate that crime against Star Wars and comedy as a whole.
Listen, I'll be honest, it's hard for me to celebrate that moment, but I'm with you. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, that's like the sand thing, the Anakin talking about the sand, that pushed so far that it's one of my favorite lines. Like, mm-hmm. It's brought me, the parody of that line has brought me so much joy that there's no way I'd let anyone take it out. I love the sand.
Yeah, it's transcended. It's transcended the movie.
And I will tell you this as well. I went to where they filmed the Sarlacc pit scene. So essentially Tatooine, right? In New York. Yeah. And I do have a podcast coming out about this. It just keeps getting bumped by other stuff because it's not topical. But Anakin was spot on about that sand. It's coarse, it rusts, it gets everywhere. It's still in my sunglasses, like in the joints of my sunglasses. I totally get now why he's telling Natalie Portman about that as a pickup line, because that's all I could think about if I spent, you know, the first half dozen years surrounded by all that sand. So,
yeah. The question is, how many times did you quote that line while you were there at the Sarlacc pit?
I don't think I did at all. At the time, I wasn't thinking prequely. It was just, all my thoughts were just Return of the Jedi. And then
fair enough.
Over the next like days and weeks when I kept finding sand in places, then my thoughts drifted to Attack of the Clones a little bit. If you are listening live, we've got a live show in LA tomorrow, January the 13th, Saturday, 3:30 p.m. at Scum and Villainy Cantina, the fan cantina, which is amazing to hang out at, which is on Hollywood Boulevard. We've got Kyle Newman, Anthony Bresnican, Ash Crowson, Jason Ward, and Laura Syracuse for a breakdown of A Month of The Last Jedi. So all people that we talked about The Last Jedi to going into the film will be debriefing in front of a live audience. And if you can't make it, that'll be on your feed on Tuesday. And then if you're in New York, we're doing a live podcast on Saturday afternoon, the 20th of January at Union House with The Daily Show's Ronnie Chang, who is one of the funniest people I know on the planet, and Marvel's Heather Antos. And we'll be talking Star Wars and their Star Wars fandom. That's on the 20th of January. So get those tickets if you are in the area. Caitlin, how about we tackle a call?
Yes, I'm ready. I'm excited.
All righty. Let's go to 202. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. This is Swara of Beltway Banthas. How's it going?
Now, listen, Swara, no plugs for any other podcasts on this thing, all right? You can just call in as a random caller and just leave it at that. You can mention you're from, you know, Washington, D.C., but we're not going to be plugging Beltway Banthas or whatever podcast that you've got there. So, everyone, if you thought about listening to Beltway Banthas after that plug, just reset. Do not listen. Your question, please.
I was completely shameless right there. I apologize. I guess I've just never done the live call before, but good to talk to you both again. Caitlin, hope you're doing really well. Listen to your latest episode. It was fantastic as usual. Everyone should listen and subscribe to Sky Talkers because y'all have like one of the best Star Wars podcasts out there. But yeah, question. It's like not so much. Well, I guess it is sort of a question. It is like since The Last Jedi has come out. Now, I absolutely loved it. It's one of my favorite films and one of my favorite Star Wars films of all time. But I think you can both agree with me here that the conversation over it overall has been really, really exhausting, specifically on social media. And, you know, I'm not even talking about the supposed divisiveness of the film, but rather the minute conversations going into it, especially on Twitter, that we've all been having have taken a lot out of us, myself included. And I think both of you guys know me on social media. I'm someone who's like, I love to like try to get in as many conversations as possible. I'm extremely vocal about my opinions and like I try to be as respectful as possible, but I like have been doing a lot of self-reflecting recently and I just want to like understand how I can do better to be more respectful and not be so like hard with my opinions. And it's just like, I guess what I'm trying to say is that the conversation has taken over so much and I feel has bogged a lot of us down. And I guess, what do you both think that we can do to be better in these conversations? And I don't know, what are your thoughts?
You go for it, Caitlin.
Thank you, Swara. I mean, yes, I know you very well on Twitter. We're good friends. I know for me, having to take a little bit of a step back from Twitter has been good. I think because The Last Jedi is a movie that begs to be seen more than once, even more than twice if you're a really hardcore Star Wars fan. And I think just being open to everyone's perspective is a really big part of it. And I think that's really hard on social media because we get in our bubbles where everyone, for the most part, agrees with what you're saying and you're in this really big echo chamber. But like taking time to step out and just like listen to someone's perspective, even if you don't end up agreeing with it in the end, I think is a really big part of it. And then, you know, if there's like a whole thread of people with one opinion kind of going back and forth, if you have a dissenting opinion, I don't know if you necessarily need to jump in on that because it's like, you know, all these people, like, you know what they think, especially if you have a relationship with someone on Twitter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. It's like, just because I have an opinion on a specific ship doesn't mean I have to jump into some of my Twitter friends who really like that ship. I can just like, you know, let them ship what they want to ship, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, it's almost like a pick your battles kind of thing, but just like pick your conversations, I think.
Yeah.
Shippers totally. Are going to ship, man. That's what they're going to do. They're going to ship all over the place.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think there is like this knee-jerk reaction that we all do is when we see something tweeted that we disagree with, we immediately have to reply and go, I don't agree with that. And I don't know, sometimes you just got to let it slide. But I'm up for like hearing anyone's opinion about it as long as it's reasoned. You know, just because, you know, like Brian Young's been doing these amazing tweets sort of, you know, explaining his point of view of the film. And like, you don't have to agree with them, but they're interesting to read. And
yeah,
like, and like a lot of it I do agree with, but it's sort of like someone can, I you know, on the panel tomorrow, like I know one person isn't as hyped about the film as everyone else. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. Because I want to have, I didn't like this. Oh, but what about that? I like this. Oh, but what about that? Like, I think that's what makes it interesting is having sane people discuss it. It's the insane people that you just have to work out how to drown out, I think.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Because, yeah, like at the end of the day, this is still a film. I mean, it's more than a film to so many of us, you know, most of the people I think listening to this podcast, but it's still, you know, a piece of art that we.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
That is subjective, that have people have various different interpretations of, and it's like really fun to discuss. But because it is more than a piece of art, because it is something that's so personal to all of us as well, that's where some of these conversations can get really hard. And I think like something that I've realized is that something I think like a lot of fans tend to do is assume, like if someone disagrees with them sometimes, is like assume the worst in them, or that like they are defined by, you know, their specific opinion on a subject. And that makes to have like trying to have that conversation that people do genuinely want to have really hard. And I think it's resulted in a lot of the, some of the exhaustion like in the past couple of weeks, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think a lot of it too is like recognizing your own bias when you view these films and knowing how that's kind of coloring your interpretation of them and thus how you're interacting with people on social media. And just remembering that everyone else is going to have a different bias and came into like specifically The Last Jedi with different expectations and hopes. And, you know, maybe they were met and maybe they weren't, but you got to talk about it in a civil manner.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I sort of, sometimes people, when you like something that other people don't, take that as a personal attack on them, kind of. Like, they're sort of, like, there's people that I see on YouTube comments and Twitter comments and stuff that are just angry that anyone could like the film. Like, it's such a weird phenomenon that like I went and saw, like, say Batman versus Superman. I didn't like it, but I'd never be angry that someone did. Do you know what I mean? I'd just go, oh, okay. Like,
yeah
I don't know, like I loved Transformers when I was little, and I did try to watch that newest film on a plane recently, and it was for me unwatchable. But I'm not angry that people like it.
Yeah.
Very strange. It's
like, yeah, like let people like what they want to like and dislike what they want to dislike. And, you know, you can, for example, like I have a good friend or two that really loves Batman and Robin from 1997. Like, they know that it's basically trash, but they still love it anyway. And they like can just embrace that. And, but I'm not like saying necessarily Batman v Superman or Transformers, or by far definitely not The Last Jedi or anything like that. But just as an extreme example, we can like, yeah, let people like what they want to like.
Yeah, like if someone had a YouTube video or something about like why Empire Strikes Back is the worst Star Wars film, like why it's their least favorite, like. Like, if that's well thought out, I'm reading it. Like, I don't agree with it, but I'm sort of like, I just like hearing, like, opinion. and it's sort of getting backed up. So, but I guess, like, if it is wearing you out, it's like, and it's going to wear different people out in different ways. And if you sort of feel right. like it's draining you, it's time to walk in one of those beautiful leafy DC parks that you've got there, buddy.
Yeah.
Do you ever walk around Washington, right? And you just see two men talking together in a park, and you just like, it's KGB secrets right there. Because that's all I'd be doing, just trying to see spies talking to each other. Have you observed many spies chatting?
Not that I know of.
unless you're the spy.
Yeah, they've gotten to him. Oh. That's the problem.
Oh, my God. Too real. Like, I don't want to think about... I mean, I do think about politics all the time, but, you know, like, sometimes I feel like I'm conflating Star Wars and politics all the time. Well, that's what I do on our podcast anyway, so another shameless plug. Sorry.
Oh, killing me. What are you talking about on the latest episode? Get it out there.
Well, yeah, thanks. So I'm one of the co-hosts of Beltway Banthas, the Star Wars and Politics podcast, and on our latest episode, we just interviewed the people behind the Twitter account Emperor Trumpatine. That's like a parody account of Trump as Palpatine. It's hilarious. You guys should follow it at Real Trumpatine. And we are now in our next week, we're digging into our discussion of The Last Jedi, and we're going to be talking about the politics and economics of Canto Bite. We're slated to have a political scientist from Colorado University, Seth Maskett. He's been on the show before, and it should be a really good discussion. So hope you all will tune in.
When you said you're interviewing the person behind the Twitter account, I was so hoping you were going to say resist Disney. I was like, oh my God, that is a must download episode.
Oh my no, I don't think that's a Twitter account we would necessarily interview.
Well, from what I can tell, they're very fond of me. So shout out to those guys. Keep resisting, you guys. It's working out.
That's where the real resistance is.
Hell yeah. Thanks so much, Suar. It's awesome to catch up with you.
You too, man. And it's so great to catch up with you too, Caitlin.
Yeah, I'm so glad you called, Suara.
Thanks, guys. Have a great night. May the force be with you.
Cheers, my man. All righty, let's go to, I think this is a Skype caller. So let's see what's up with that. Skype caller, who are you and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Francoise, and I'm calling in from Osaka, Japan.
Oh, my God. Wow. We've never had a Japanese call before.
I'm not Japanese. I just live here. Sorry.
Oh, no. I just mean from Japan. That's a Japanese call, isn't it? I don't know. Is that, am I in hot soup? Am I in cold soup? I don't know. But we've never had, I will rephrase. I don't want to offend any phone lines out there, any telecommunications devices, but we've never had a call from Japan made by anyone to the show.
Yay.
I'm glad. Whereabouts did you live in? Where did you say you lived in Japan?
Osaka.
I stayed there for about a week over New Year's, maybe about 5-6 years ago, and everyone went and jumped on that bridge. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, the Dotonbori Bridge. And I know what you're talking about. People like to jump off that bridge and into the really disgusting water.
Isn't the thing, if your friend jumps off a bridge, don't jump off the bridge with him?
Well, the water is kind of shallow, so it's okay to jump in, I guess. But yeah, they all jump in there.
And the Japanese are the politest drunks I've ever come across. They will fall into you, and then they will say sorry. Like in Australia, you bump into someone and then you get like people get angry at you that you happen to like break their fall, but they were the best drunk people I've ever had to manage to be a very drunk person around. And Japan has the best Star Wars merchandise. You are.
Oh, they do. Oh, my gosh. I love living here for that. Like, oh, so good.
What's the weirdest thing that you've seen that you just like only in Japan for Star Wars products?
For Star Wars products? I guess I haven't really come across anything that I'd be like, oh my gosh, this is so weird. But also after living here for 5 years, things just become really normal here now. Like things that people in America be like, oh my gosh, look at what Japan has, so wacky. And I'm just like, it's normal to me now because I'm just so used to it. So I have to think about that. But I haven't really come across anything that's like, that's just weird, anything like that.
The one that I've seen is the Darth Vader toothpick dispenser.
I haven't seen that yet.
It is like this plastic injection molded Darth Vader that sort of like when you push a button, he somehow grabs a lightsaber from this hidden bit grabs a toothpick and then holds it up like a lightsaber.
Oh, I've seen that on the internet.
That's so cute.
And my friend has got one. And I was like, that is one of the best things ever, but I don't use enough toothpicks to validate a $120 dispenser.
Yeah, like, but you obsess over Star Wars enough to validate a Darth Vader toothpick dispenser.
Yeah, I just think to get my money's worth out of it, I'd just have like bloody gums the whole time because I'd just be, I've got to use these toothpicks, got to get my value for money. But what's on your mind in Osaka tonight or today or tomorrow in Star Wars?
Well, it's at the moment here in Osaka, it's 12:41 p.m., so just past now. I guess I don't really have anything much to say except for just to say hello and say how much I really enjoy your show. And when you did your announcement for the live show today, when you tagged Caitlin, I went over and listened to their the Sky Talkers podcast and immediately subscribed. Because I'm always looking for like woman-led podcasts to listen to, in addition to like yours and stuff like that. I always like to get a range of different voices to listen to. So thank you both for existing and giving me like good Star Wars content to listen to.
Gosh, thank you so much. I'm so glad.
I love it when the system works. Like I mentioned, can people go check it out? Like it's thrilling.
Yeah. Always looking for a good podcast to listen to, especially after The Last Jedi. I'm just like, okay, I need to have all the Star Wars content right now, listen to all the podcasts and just enjoy all of that.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about.
For those
yeah.
that haven't heard Sky Talkers yet, and sometimes you're just a bit over the top, like, you know, I'm just sick of people talking about The Last Jedi. They do a quite timeless series sort of like recapping or looking back at each of the films. So if you're up for just like a chat about Attack of the Clones, they just towards the end of the last year, why don't you call that series? The Machete Order series? Is that what it was called?
Yes, it's called Sky Talkers Machete. Do you know what Machete series is? It's like a order you can watch Star Wars in.
Don't gatekeep us, Caitlin. We know.
I don't want to assume, okay?
I grew up on this series.
Yeah, well, for listeners who maybe don't know, Machete is you watch 4, 5, 2, 3, and 6. But for Sky Talkers Machete, we did 1, 4, 5, 2, 3, 6, 7. And so we recapped every episode in that order of Star Wars. And our show, we do like a 3-part show. So the first part we always did was about the plot of the movie, and then part 2 was the characters, and part 3 were like listener questions and like talking about bonus features and things like that. So it was so much fun. We loved it. I'm really sad that series is over. It was great.
Yeah, I really like how you structure your breakdowns of the movies. Like I just listened to the Last Jedi story discussion last night, so I'm really excited for the next part in that series. I just like getting listening to the in-depth stuff.
Thank you. Yeah, we're excited. We haven't recorded our character breakdown yet, but it's coming soon. But thank you so much.
I can't wait for gatekeeper Caitlin to do a character breakdown. Now, next up, we're going to talk about Poe Dameron. All right, now for you newbies, he's the X-wing pilot.
those people that don't know.
Also, for you and other listeners that are sort of looking for some more great female voices in podcasting, I would recommend checking out the Canto Bite Dispatch and Rebel Girl. They are ones that I listen to each week, and
yes.
I would give them a look. Although Emily from Canto Bite Dispatch, bit of an attitude, but we will push on. Hey, thanks so much for your call. It's so weird. Like, we should be used to it, but just to think that people are, you know, all around the world listening and sort of participating, it's really cool. So I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much.
Awesome. Have you heard this thing that Donald Glover hinted at that there's going to be this shot in Solo? Have you heard about, do you know this story?
No, I don't.
Mark Ellis from Collider is trying to get me more information on it because I heard it on Jedi Council and I'm messaging him like going, what is this shot? But apparently from what I can glean from what he's messaged me is that Donald Glover mentioned that Ron Howard's got this shot that follows a character walking onto the Falcon. And then when people like sort of like a Goodfellas, like one of those continuous shots that that they also had in Swingers, they sort of bit it. That just sounds so cool. Like a continuous shot of someone, like to actually go up that ramp. Like that would be such an amazing teaser. Like just to have like Solo's legs walking up the gangplank and then sitting in the seat and then fade to black, Solo, a Star Wars story. Or just him talking at the end. Because that is a big, like, when he talks, there is hundreds of millions of dollars wrapped up in how that sounds.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Exactly. I think I would put money that some version of what you just said is how that first teaser trailer plays out. Like just the Han Solo legs around the Falcon. Like that's going to happen.
Yeah. What did you think of the new Falcon or the old Falcon?
I'll be honest. I'm not the biggest ship connoisseur when it comes to Star Wars. It's like I recognize the Falcon, but I don't study all of the details of it, which sounds horrible, right? Like I should know exactly what the Falcon looks like, every detail.
Well, for many people, when a Star Wars fan says they're not into the shipping that much, they normally breathe a sigh of relief, but they think it means something else.
Yes, yeah.
Let's go to Patreon supporter, the aforementioned Emily Lind in New York City. How you doing, buddy?
Hi, Phil. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. I'm in a good mood, and I hope no one abuses me on a digital phone line tonight. And it's good to speak to you, Emily. How are you?
Wow. I was in such a good mood calling into the show. I was so excited to talk Star Wars. And now I just feel like I have to defend myself because I don't know what you're talking about. I'm always so sweet and kind to you, Steele. I am a happy little fluffy cloud of light, and I'm deeply offended.
Oh. I agree with her. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, we've got 1 week to mend our rift before we see each other in New York. So. He's hoping, you guys. Light a candle.
Yeah, I might give you cookies after all. I haven't decided yet.
Ooh. What's on your mind tonight?
I was wondering about the Han Solo trailer and sort of what it has to accomplish and also just sort of what you guys want to see in it and what you want the trailer to be, but also what do you think the trailer has to do to pique other people's interest? Because, I mean, we're all going to go see Han Solo no matter what, but how do you sell this movie to other people?
With coolness. It has to be cool. And I'm not sure what that means.
Mm.
Solo, it's got a lot to do, honestly. And as someone who is just now starting to get excited for Solo, I'm kind of excited having no expectations for this movie because, I don't know, like, I think you have to have it has to feel like the Falcon. I mean, you've got to have that Star Wars feeling, that ambiguous Star Wars feeling, whatever it is. But it also needs to be something so fresh and new. Like, I think it almost has to be this mixture of marketing that we saw for The Force Awakens and what The Last Jedi ended up being. Like, something we can all recognize and understand, but in a completely new way that's going to be really exciting and new.
Yeah, I think, like, something that the trailer or the teaser would be wise to try to do, and I'm not sure what this thing is, but show people something about Han Solo and the Millennium Falcon that they really want to see that they don't know.
Almost like Solo saying nice to meet you to Chewbacca or something.
Yeah. Nice to meet you. Leave us something that will spark our imaginations and go, I didn't think about that. And then we can talk about that for a month or so.
Yeah, like a new part of the Falcon.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure if you watched the film, it would be, you know, it'd be there, like, for it. But it is interesting. It's going to be a really interesting, like, couple of months because they put themselves behind the eight ball with this scheduling, and now they've got to get the word out. And I don't think they predicted how The Last Jedi was going to leave, a lot of people's view of Star Wars, which is quite contentious at the moment. What do you think, Emily? What do you think this trailer's got to have?
Well, I don't know. I've been thinking about it because I still don't have a good sense of what this movie is. In terms of sort of like the style of the movie and the feel of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I just need this movie to let me know what kind of movie I'm getting. And then I can get excited about it. Because right now I don't want to be a pessimist. Because I don't like going into movies, especially a Star Wars movie, thinking that I won't like it. But because, like, younger version of character we already know wouldn't be my top choice for a new movie, I'm sort of ambivalent. But I'm hoping the trailer will, whatever it has, will grab me enough. But I think the thing that really needs to be is, and this is hard, is even in the teaser or the trailer, he needs to be Han Solo. And I don't quite know what that means, and I don't know if it's possible, but that's, I think, the number one thing.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think something, as like, just like you, I was kind of ambivalent towards the Solo movie until literally just last week. I feel like I finally started thinking about it a lot more. I know one of the things I'm really excited to see in the trailer is the aesthetic of Solo. Like what it actually looks like, and like where exactly in the Star Wars galaxy we are, as far as, you know, how the clothes look and how the technology looks and how all the ships look and stuff like that. I think that's going to tell us a lot too about the tone of the movie as well. but it is going to be interesting how much of the Solo character they actually give us in the trailer, or if they're going to save the big reveal, I guess, for the actual movie.
Oh, they've got to reveal him before the movie. It'd be too much for us to handle, I think. I've seen some pictures that I'm not meant to have seen. And there is, I've seen images of Han Solo that if they came out, people would just be like, this is going to be a disaster. That is not Han Solo. And then I've seen pictures of the same actor portraying Han Solo at a different part. Because, you know, the film does, I think, is it 5 or 7 years does it cover? But there's different time periods.
I think 7.
Yeah, I think Bobby I said 7. But then I see other pictures, of him portraying Han Solo, and I'm just like, oh, my God. That is ridiculously Han Solo. The jacket and the glimmer in his eye and the little grin. But hearing him talk is going to be, it's going to mean a lot to whether this film crushes it or not.
So much riding on it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of glad I'm not a huge, of course I love Han Solo, but my main squeeze is Luke Skywalker. So I'm kind of glad that, because the stress of The Last Jedi was enough for me, waiting for Luke Skywalker to finally be in the movie. I'm kind of glad I don't feel the same way or as strongly about Han Solo, or else that'd just be too much stress for me over, a short period of time.
Yeah, I've in one form or another been in love with Han Solo since I was 6 years old. So it's a little bit hard to take.
Yeah, I'm with Caitlin. I'm going to be kicking back and just going, all right, whatever you want to do, you guys. I'm just sitting.
Yeah.
Because during The Last Jedi, I was visibly stressed about Luke Skywalker. When the Falcon took off and left him there, I remember just looking at the screen and what does this mean? He's surely, he can't get off the island, but he has to be in the film further. What does this mean? All right, he's going to be in the film again. Let it go. Stop thinking about it. And the second time I watched it, I was so much more relaxed knowing that he was going to come back.
I was on pins and needles basically the whole movie, but especially when Luke was in the scene. I was just so stressed. And you're completely right. The second viewing, I felt like I could finally take in what was actually going on and allow myself to sob uncontrollably when that final scene finally happened. For the first time, I was just in complete disbelief. What did I just watch?
Oof. Well, it's, I can't wait for it to start rolling out. Emily, thanks so much for your call. And as I said before, check out that Canto Bite Dispatch if you like the cut of Emily's jib, one of the greatest sayings of all time. And I'll see you in New York next Saturday, buddy.
All right, can't wait. It's going to be a blast.
Hell yeah. All righty. We are about, stay on the line if you are on hold. We are about to end our normal feed show, but we will continue for the live listeners and the Patreons to continue listening. So if you're listening to this on iTunes or a like platform on demand, if you become a Patreon subscriber or supporter for just $3 a month, you get the extended call-in shows as well as the exclusive shows like Making Steel Wars and the Robo Report and the Q&As and our entire back catalog. I think it's over 350 interviews and podcasts. And for $3, you get to keep the little podcast going. You can check that out at patreon.com/steelwars. And we will keep podcasting into the bonus section for you guys. But before we do that, Caitlin, give us the spiel about how people can follow you and @SkyTalkers on Twitter and listen to the podcast.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for having me on, Steele. And if you want to hear more from myself, you can find me on Twitter @CaitlinPlusher. That's Caitlin with a C. And then you can go and head on over to my podcast with my best friend, Charlotte. It's Sky Talkers Podcast. You can find us on iTunes and our Twitter handle is @SkyTalkersPod, or you can head on over to our website, SkyTalkers.com.
Excellent. And already on hold, we've got Robbo, our notorious caller and co-host of the Robbo Report, or King Tom. And we've got a few mystery numbers, which I'll be interesting to check out what they have to say. But thank you guys so much. If you're listening live or a Patreon subscriber, stay hooked in as we go into the bonus show. But for those on the normal feed, may that force be with you. All righty, we have got from Ohio King Tom on the line. Buddy, what's on your mind?
Hey, Steele and Caitlin, thanks for taking my call. You know, I've seen The Last Jedi a few times, and more than a few, and it's still in the theaters, and I'm still going to go see it, but I'm always looking to the future, and...
Hey, you guys, if you've stuck along with the episode for this long, then we're obviously doing something right. So tell the world by going onto iTunes and leaving us a sweet 5-star review. It bumps us up the rankings, vouchers to other potential listeners that we're doing good stuff, and also makes your host feel warm inside. If you have a couple of seconds to spare to post one up, I'd really appreciate it. And I will see you on the next episode.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.